Welcome to Stories of the Journey Home. Storytelling for the spiritual journey. Once upon a time, there was a monk. And this monk was making his way with steady urgency down from the monastery where he had spent most of his life. Down from the monastery where he'd spent most of his life, walking carefully down the steep mountainside that led all the way down into the valley, and then walking for weeks and weeks and weeks upon uneven roads, until at last he came to the city where the king had his palace. The king, whose kingdom was in a constant state of disarray, with one crisis leading to the next. The king, who was well known to be one of the busiest men in the kingdom, and still the crises raged. And the monk, when he arrived at the king's palace, he simply requested an audience with the king. The lowly courtier who greeted him and was assigned to him, he said, "You can't possibly expect the king to see you. Who are you, and indeed where have you even come from?" The monk named himself, and he was entirely anonymous. Of course, the courtier had never heard of him. He even named the monastery, and it was so distant, in such a far-off rural part of the kingdom, that the courtier had to scratch his head even to try and imagine where that place was. He said, "You'll have to wait." The monk said, "I'm happy to wait." And he said it with such resolve and yet softness. But for the first time, the courtier was struck and gave him a second glance before hurrying away. Well, by the end of the day, the courtier, he's rushing back to his desk, wanting to finish off the last bits of business, and he sees the monk sitting there. Oh, he'd forgotten all about him. And of course, he hadn't done anything with his request. Everybody knew the king was impossibly busy. If you wanted to speak to the king, you had to get through to the chamberlain. And the chamberlain was almost as busy as the king and had his own assistant. And if you wanted to get through to the chamberlain, why, you had to find the ear of the assistant, who himself was also quite a prestigious and busy man in the palace. So he hadn't even thought about contacting him. He'd just be laughed out of the court. But seeing the monk sitting there, he was chastened. And he came to the monk and he said, "Listen, I'm very sorry. I actually forgot to mention this to anybody. You've been waiting here all day, and I really should have told someone." And the monk, he just looks at the courtier, and he looks at him with compassion and warmth. And he says, "I am quite happy to stay here as long as it takes. The message I have is of the utmost urgency. And yet I understand the king is a very busy man. I do not wish to add to the complexity of his life. Rather, I'm here with a message that I know the king has to hear. But how long it takes, I do not mind." When the monk comes to the end of his sentence, the courtier realizes that he's been listening more intently to the monk than he's ever listened to anything. He's simply gazing into the monk's face, big, moon-like. He says, "Well, I'll do much better tomorrow. I will mention it. I'm so sorry. Do you have somewhere to stay?" The monk said yes, and found lodgings with some lay members of his order who were in the city. But the next day, He came back to the palace and he simply sat in exactly the same spot that he'd been sitting all the day before. When the courtier comes in, he greets him with more respect than he had done previously. And true to his word, he goes to the assistant to the chamberlain. And he mentions, although it's not easy because the assistant is already running to his next task, he mentioned that there is this monk and it seems to be very urgent. And could you... And already the assistant is gone, waving him away. Monk, he says. And off he runs. And so all that day the courtier is wondering what to say to the monk. Clearly his case isn't going anywhere. By the end of the day, he finds the monk sitting just as quietly and peacefully as before. He says, look, I really am sorry. I did try, but they're insane here. Everyone's running around and I could barely get a word in. But he does know, or at least I think he knows. You're waiting. The monk simply received the news with the same serenity that he had received his words the day before. He says quietly, I will wait here until the king is able to see me. And so it goes. And so it goes. Every day, the monk sits and waits. And every day, the courtier, he finds reasons to come and report back to him. Even though he's got no further, even though he hasn't spoken to the assistant for ages, he just finds his steps leading back to that little corridor where the monk sits like a pool of stillness in the midst of the chaos of the palace. And he gives him spurious updates on what's going on, telling him that things are in motion and there will surely be progress and he will one day, I'm sure, be heard. Is it okay to wait a bit longer? But he does all of this just so he can hear what happens next. Just so he can hear how it is possible for a man burning with a message to sit in such stillness and detachment. Every time the monk speaks, it's like honey. His whole body relaxes. He finds himself resting into the stillness of the moment, which is like a foreign country to a man like him. His belly softens. His shoulders relax. He simply listens and waits until eventually the monk is finished and there's no more. And he snaps himself to and he says, well, I better get back. I will do my best. And off he runs. But before long, there's a little crowd who are just lingering around that part of the palace, waiting for the next audience with the monk. The next moment when the monk is told that, sorry, no progress, but we are working on it. And then they'd all sit and wait for the monk to speak. Wait to see what it's like to be passionately burning with a message and yet utterly free from attachment as to how things happen next. Well, after a few weeks of this, the court is starting to feel like a fraud. He hasn't actually spoken to the assistant, to the chamberlain, to the king in all that time. And yet he keeps on coming back to the monk. Him and all his friends keep on coming back and waiting for that end-of-the-day audience where the monk will speak. Eventually, he can't do this any longer. And he goes to the assistant, and by some good fortune, he finds him in a moment of relative calm, where there's not one thing pushing him and the other thing pulling him, but rather he's just stopped in between. And he starts to speak, but as his words come out, they sound strangely familiar. He says, "I'm sorry to bother you. I know you are very busy, and it's with the last thing I'd want to do would be to add to the complexity of your life. It's just that I feel entrusted with an urgent message from someone who is waiting patiently to see the king. And I know the king is busy. And of course, there's the last thing anyone would want was for the king to get any busier. It's just that..." And he starts to sound like the monk. And not just that, he starts to speak with the same kind of detachment, the same kind of urgency and yet calm that he's been absorbing from the monk these last weeks. And somehow or other, it catches the assistant off guard. Somehow or other, the assistant for a moment forgets about his agenda, his to-do list, all the things that had driven him into that moment and all the things that were waiting to pick him up after it. He forgets about them all. And he just stares at the courtier. He said, "What did you say?" "Well," says the courtier, "there's this monk, you see." And he tells him the whole thing all over again, and this time he's even calmer. He's even more still. And when the assistant, he's heard the full thing again, for the second time through, he says, "Show me this monk. I'd like to meet him myself." And so the two of them go back. And they speak with the monk, and the assistant explains how busy the chamberlain is. "It's going to be very hard to get through to the chamberlain. He hardly has any time for me, and I'm his assistant." The monk takes it all in. And when he responds, why, it's the sweetest that anybody there has ever heard him express himself. It's the sweetest exposition of his position that anyone there, and they're all quite familiar with his sermons by now, that anyone there has ever heard him speak. The assistant to the chamberlain is utterly charmed. Utterly charmed. He's never heard anything like this. And every day now, he joins the crowd at the end of the day to explain how busy the chamberlain is and how it would be very hard to get through to him. And before long, he starts feeling like a fraud. Because the truth is, those end of the day audiences, they're like going to a steam bath. They're like going to a warm jacuzzi and letting all the cares of your day just go, letting everything go and resting in a present moment that wants nothing, nothing, and yet is filled with urgency, with the desire to help. Eventually, however, the assistant to the chamberlain, he starts to feel like a fraud. As much as he's enjoying these end-of-the-day audiences, he has to do something. He can feel the monk's urgency, and he goes to the chamberlain. Well, we know what happens next. He speaks with such simplicity and yet strength, with such presence and yet detachment. The chamberlain is stopped in his tracks, utterly won over, consumed with curiosity, and soon he is sitting with the monk, listening to why and how and wherefore. And it starts to spread through the palace. Something wonderful. A patience with exactly how things are, and a compassionate desire that they be better at the same time. A compassionate desire to help. And one day, the king turns around to his chamberlain and he says, "What's going on round here?" "Your Majesty?" "What? What is it?" said the king. "Your Majesty, do you want to know the next thing?" "No," says the king. "I want to know why everyone is so calm and so peaceful." Well, the chamberlain wonders if the moment has arrived. "Tell me," says the king. "Well," says the chamberlain, "there is a monk here." "A monk?" says the king. And then the chamberlain tells him the whole story. And by the time he's finished, the king simply says, "Send him in." And before long, the monk is sitting in front of the king. And he is no happier then than he was before. He could have waited for all eternity. And yet there he sits before the king. The king says, "What?" The monk replies, "Your Majesty, come with me." And they go out into the king's garden. And there the monk picks a piece of fruit from one of the king's trees and hands it to the king, motioning to him to eat. The king eats, but it's tart, it's sour, it's not ready. He spits it out and stares at the monk. The monk said, "Do not chase after that whose time has not yet come." And then he led the king further on to where there was a rose garden. And there he picked a rose whose petals were falling off, whose time had come and gone, and he handed it to the king. And of all the roses he could have been handed, the king stares down at this one that's really past its prime, and he stares back at the monk, as if in question. The monk simply says, "When things are done, let them go." And on they go to a lake. And there the monk, he disrobes, and although the water is freezing, he dives into the water. And the king, without thinking, follows suit, takes off his royal clothes and dives into the water too. And as his body immerses in that freezing water, in that moment, he remembers all the times as a prince, as a young boy when he'd swum there, when life was so much simpler. And this moment was a friend. This present moment was his constant companion. And when he came out of the water, he was a changed man. As he got himself dressed, he and the monk, they sat there together for hours and hours talking. And at the end of it, the king goes back to his palace. And he starts to dismantle the machinery of government. Apart from what is essential. He dismisses most of his courtiers. And those that remain, he says, to those that need, give. And from those that have more than they need, take. And from that moment forth, his kingdom becomes known for being especially benevolent, kind, orderly, the crises somehow having melted away. Melted away. And one day, after the monk had been there for several more months, he made his way back to the mountains, back to the abbot who had sent him in the first place with this message. And he brings with him a rose that is perfectly at its peak, the fragrance of which brings you right here to the simplicity and beauty of this.